Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We celebrate today the holiest day of the year, the culmination of our faith, when many churches are packed with people. But we hear in the gospel today of a woman who comes to see the corpse of a God who is dead. She comes when it is dark, and for John's gospel, that is a very significant symbol or image. Darkness means lack of faith. Light, faith in Christ. She comes while it is still dark. She comes to see the body of a dead God. I wonder how many of us do the same thing, maybe unconsciously. What do I mean by that? When God is alive for us, our lives are transformed. We live for Him alone, in worshiping Him, in receiving the sacraments, in helping the poor, in striving for lives of virtue. But so often for many of us Catholics, when we come to church, we come to the tomb. We come to see a God who is dead to us. His life does not change anything about how we live. It makes no difference. We're no different than anybody else in the world. We just happen to be here instead of recovering from a bender last night. Because God is dead. It's a smelly, stinky tomb that we expect to find when we come into the doors of the church. Maybe God has died for us because we've lost a loved one. And we don't understand how God could let that happen. Maybe God is dead to us because we've experienced a horrific, tragic loss or an illness, a loss of job, a loss of income, a home, the loss of a marriage, God forbid the loss of a child, the loss of a parent. How can God be good and allow that to happen unless He's dead? So often for us as Catholics, we come to Mass just to look at a dead God who makes no difference. It's over. It doesn't matter. But we come for custom. We come out of habit. Or at least we come twice a year for Easter and Christmas. Because God is dead. And His life and resurrection didn't happen. And it makes no difference in who I am, how I live, and how I treat others. I'm not saying this to criticize you. That's how Mary of Magdala came to the tomb. Peter, she comes to the apostles because Mary, even though God is dead to her, as she saw Him die on the cross, unlike Peter, she still knows to go to where she last saw Him. She still knows to go where she last experienced Him. As some Catholics do when God is dead to them, they think, well, let me go back to the church where I grew up because I experienced God somehow there. She knew that much. And when she found that God wasn't there because of the scandals they've read in the news, the scandal of some bishops and priests or popes, they at least know, let me go to the leadership and ask them, what have you done with Jesus? Where have you put Him? Why have you hidden Him from me? By your scandalous lives, by your hiding behind lawyers, by your inaccessibility, by your lack of humility, by your opulence of life, where have you put my dead God? She at least knew to go to them and ask them the hard questions. Peter and John don't believe her, or they're not sure, and so they run to the tomb. John was there. John was at the foot of the cross. He suffered with Jesus for those 3 hours. He took His lifeless body off the cross and rolled it in that cloth and put it in the tomb. But Peter didn't. Peter wasn't there. Peter hid. He hid after he denied Jesus 3 times, cursing and yelling all the while. And so Peter, because Mary Magdalene knows this sinner who denied Jesus, this coward who abandoned Him, is still the leader of the church. He's the one whom Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And so she goes to him and the beloved and tells them, where is Jesus? So they run to the tomb. And Peter's like me, much older and less fast as I used to be as a teenager. And John makes it there first. But notice John gets to the tomb and he does not go in. Why? Aren't you curious? Mary, the tomb's open. Who moved the stone? And Mary said, his body's not there. Don't you want to take a look? John waits outside for Peter to arrive first. Even John, who alone was fearless to stand at the foot of the cross and suffer with Jesus, knows Peter's the leader, the denier, the coward. And he waits for Peter to go in first. A deference to position, even if not necessarily because Peter is holier. And in deference to the Petrine privilege, if you will, Peter goes in. He doesn't recognize anything. He wasn't there. He sees the cloths separate. If someone were going to steal the body of Jesus, you don't strip it naked and carry the lifeless, bloody, filthy body of a corpse out. You leave it in the cloth it's wrapped in, and one grabs the head, the other grabs the legs of the cloth and carries it out. The fact that they're folded up means he wasn't stolen. But Peter sees this, and he doesn't believe. It's still dark for him. It's still dark for Mary of Magdala. But then John goes in. John goes in, as you heard. He sees how it's different than how he left the Lord. And John, because only he suffered with Jesus, I believe, could see the empty tomb and believe. Only when we're willing to bring our sufferings to Jesus, only when we're willing to suffer with Jesus, can we believe even if we don't see. John experienced that. So many of us, when we experience suffering, we run and hide like Peter. So many of us, when we experience loss, when God dies to us in a sense, we don't come back to the tomb that is the church. We're gone, never to be seen again. But the person who chooses to bring their sufferings to Jesus in prayer, to bring the hard questions, their anger, their sadness to Jesus in prayer, or to the leadership of the church asking, "What have you done with my Lord?" Only those people who are willing to suffer with him can come to believe when it seems that he's not here. John was able to do that because, unlike all the other apostles, he was there watching Jesus be nailed to the cross, watching him gasp for air, naked, humiliated, forgiving, saving the good thief, and giving out his last breath as he cried out, as we heard on Good Friday and Palm Sunday in the Gospels. Because John suffered with Jesus, he believed. But notice an important detail in John chapter 20. He didn't say anything. John believed, but he kept his mouth shut. Like many Catholics who come to Mass every week because they believe, but they won't say a word about Jesus to their co-workers. It might offend somebody. They won't say a word about their faith and what they did on Sunday. Someone may not be Christian. They won't say anything in defense of the faith or the church. Well, because like John, they believe, but they just don't want to get into it right now. It's a private matter. It's between me and Jesus. Who am I to tell other people about him? That was John. There's still a level of darkness, even in John. But if you continue to read the Gospel of John chapter 20, Mary of Magdala, she comes to the tomb and he's not here. She comes like we do to church to see a dead corpse, a God who's no longer alive and makes no difference. He's missing. She knows enough to go to the leadership of the church. And then she knows enough to go back to the tomb. This is where I saw him last, and I'm not leaving. Like the Catholic who may have had their faith profoundly hurt because they weren't deeply united with Christ in a personal, living, loving relationship, and the example of one of his leaders was enough to scandalize them, but they stay. That's what Mary Magdala did. It's a tomb. He's dead. He's not here, but I'm not leaving because this is who I am. And because she stayed, Jesus appeared to her, not to Peter, not to John. He appeared to her. Mary, Rabboni, do not cling to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and tell them that I will see them in Galilee. Jesus appeared to her because she would not leave. And then he tells her, go tell the Pope and the bishops that I am risen. It was a laywoman who, according to John's gospel, was the very first person to speak out, Jesus Christ is risen. Not a pope, not the bishops. They were hiding, cowards, fearful, hiding behind their lawyers, hiding behind their public speakers, inaccessible in wealthy homes and comfortable lives and first-class plane tickets and $6,000 and $8,000 monthly salaries with free room and board. It was a laywoman who went to them and said, he is risen. If the church is going to flourish and not go by way of Europe in the English-speaking Catholic Church of America, it will be incumbent on you to be Mary of Magdala, to be the laity who speak the truth in the world that Jesus is risen by your lives, by your conduct, by your practice of the faith, and by your love for those most in need. Our church in this country is growing only because of the massive influx of Catholics from the Spanish-speaking world and from Asia. Were it not for them, this would be a museum like they are in Europe. I was there in the 90s, traveling and studying all over Europe. Everywhere I went, the church was dead and empty except for tourists with cameras. I would go to daily mass everywhere. It was me and three women that I think were all over 100, and the priest who was at least 80. And when you walked around, it was no one but people taking pictures going, wow, that's crazy what these people believed. They sure made pretty buildings. And as soon as mass was over, they would make me leave because it turned into a museum and I couldn't stay, even though I was there to pray. Our church is heading that way in the English-speaking American Catholic demographic. Unless you, who were born and raised in this country, are willing to be Mary of Magdala today, to tell the leadership of the church he is risen by your lives, to tell the world he is risen by your generosity after the heart of God in the Hebrew Scriptures toward the immigrant, the alien, the orphan, the widow, and the poor. Only by your generosity of life and witness to the resurrection will this church turn around and will people come to believe again. It wasn't Peter, it wasn't even John who first said Jesus Christ is risen. It was a laywoman. That's why the early church called Mary of Magdala the apostle to the apostles. Because she did, she believed when Peter wouldn't, and she did what John didn't. She proclaimed Jesus risen. So now, what about you?